It's International Mermaid Day. What better way to celebrate than with a special mini-sode about all of our favorite mers? Well, my favorite mers, at least. It is my podcast, after all. Let's dive into a Mermazing Mermaid Mini on the Mermaid Movie Club. Oh boy, I really gotta ease up on those puns. Greetings and salutations, and happy International Mermaid Day. Coming to you pre-recorded from Quarantine Town, it's a very special edition of the Mermaid Movie Club. Well, this month has been a busy year, hasn't it? How's your social distancing going? I can understand that there are a lot of elements to this whole quarantine, social distancing, social isolation thing, this coronavirus thing. They're all very stressful. And among those, being unable to socialize and talk to people, obviously among other things, I'm sure there's a lot more pressing matters than just this. But I don't want to get into that right now. Right now, I'm just glad we can get together. We can come together here on the Mermaid Movie Club and focus on something a little bit happier. And especially today, because look, it's International Mermaid Day. So this is a special episode. As I said, I'm going to highlight a few of my favorite mers from movies, but I'm also going to pull out a few TV mers as well, just to spice it up and have some fun with it. I'm really bad at ordering things, so this is not going to be in any particular order. These are just a bunch of mer characters that I love personally, that have been with me for many, many years. After all, this is a celebration of merfolk in media, and today it is also a celebration of International Mermaid Day. You know, I had to look up the origins of International Mermaid Day, and Google tells me that it was created by Freeform a few years ago. You know, the television network owned by Disney, Freeform, ahead of the 2018 premiere of Siren. That's the only kind of origin I can find for it. And I guess it checks out because I never heard anything about this day until recently. So there it is. The more you know. By the way, I believe there's a third season of Siren starting up this coming week, so the timing could not be more perfect. But I haven't caught up. Whoops. I should probably do that. Sorry, Rin. Anyway, without further ado, here's a brief list of Xandria's favorite mers from the screen. The small and the silver. What's the difference between, like, the silver screen? You could just call it the big screen. And then there's the small screen. What's the equivalent? You have the big screen is the silver screen. So what's the small screen? Is it just the small screen? I'm sorry. That was like total shower thought there. It just kind of popped into my head. But anyway, you know what I'm getting at here? Let's just dive right into it. The first one I have on my list is Mermaid Mindy from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. So in this movie, Mindy is naturally the daughter of the Sea King, because of course she is, but that seems to be the only mermaid trope she really adheres to. I need to just make a list of mermaid tropes and see like which movies check off which ones. That should be something I do in the future. She seems to break almost every other trope. She kind of looks like, to me, if you took Meg Griffin from Family Guy and turned her into a mermaid. Like, that's literally what she looks like. She doesn't have like this long flowing hair. In fact, it's short and black. She doesn't wear a fancy shell top. In fact, she's got this shirt that looks like it came out of Limited 2, circa 2001. Her skin is green, which, while that's not unusual, it is kind of uncommon, I think. But my favorite thing about her design is that she's wearing glasses. She's got these, like, thick, round-frame glasses. And you never see mermaids with glasses. You don't really see that often. Not in, like, cartoons, at least. And as a glasses-wearing mer, I feel very seen by this. Get it? Scene. Glasses. It was funny. It was a pun. That was actually no pun intended there. Anyway, the main objective here in this movie is that SpongeBob and Patrick have to go to Shell City, clever name, to retrieve King Neptune's crown, or else Neptune, I think, like, I honestly think he was planning to essentially execute Mr. Krabs if SpongeBob and Patrick didn't produce the crown by X amount of time. So Mindy, at some point, uses her mermaid magic, because of course she has mermaid magic, to turn SpongeBob and Patrick into men. And by that, I mean she sticks kelp mustaches on their faces. So that kind of turns out to be a farce. And as Neptune begins to lose his patience with SpongeBob and Patrick, Mindy stalls them, and honestly, one of my favorite scenes in the movie. I quote this all the time. Stalling. You think I'm stalling? Stalling? And this goes on for a couple minutes. You know, Mindy, she's just really good-hearted and she's compassionate. She's a little bit rebellious, and I always like a little bit of a rebel, which on top of her more unusual design, there's really just so much for me to love about her, and so much in general for people to love about her. I thought I'd also mention, because this is really fun, she's voiced by Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, that's Scarlett Johansson, the highest paid actress in the world, star of the Academy Award nominated Marriage Story, among many other movies, the MCU's own Black Widow, among many other accolades. It's not where she began, but before all that, she was Mindy. But Mindy's just as much of a hero as Natasha. Not all heroes wear capes, you know. Neither of them do. But whatever. Anyway, Mindy. Great Mer. Love Mindy. Next one I want to talk about is... there's a bunch of different ways to say her name, but I say Lettuce, just because that's easier. I've seen Vetasu. I don't know if I have that pronunciation right, because I don't know Japanese. Lettuce Midorikawa, or Mew Lettuce, from Tokyo Mew Mew. If you're not familiar with this anime series, it's an early to mid-2000s anime and manga series, which was later dubbed into English by 4Kids as Mew Mew Power, where she was actually known as Bridget Verdant, if that sounds more familiar. In this series, a group of girls are fused with endangered species and become magical girls, in a time before Madoka Magica, I might add, who fight off evil aliens and also work part-time in a maid cafe, because of course they do. Lettuce is one of those magical girls, as they're called in the series, Mew Mews. Lettuce is infused with the DNA of a finless porpoise, so she can occasionally take on a sort of mermaid form if she comes in contact with something called Mew Aqua, and I forget exactly what that is, because it's been a while since I've watched this or even read it. And it's funny, because when she's not in this, like, mer-porpoise form, she can't really swim. And in her mer form, she glows. I mean, literally, like her whole like body physically gives off light. And I don't know if that's like a bioluminescence thing or what, but it's neat. I like it. Lettuce herself is really shy and polite, like kind of like a typical nerd type of a magical girl series, like Ami Mizuno in Sailor Moon, Sailor Mercury, and Omura Akemi in Madoka Magica before she started messing around with time. Ichigo Momomiya and Mint Aizawa, I think I got those names right, discover her after going out to a nearby pool to figure out a weird presence there, only to find out that it is in fact Lettuce in her Mew form attacking other people, I guess out of like some weird defense or revenge or something. She cries that she'll never have any friends. There's this insecurity about her power and something about, I was watching it recently, this particular episode, and something about, like, her body is weird, and I don't know if that means, like, her powers are weird, or, I don't think it has anything to do with the mermaid part, because I don't think we've come to that point yet, but there's also, like, the little marking on her belly button. There's a Mew Mew mark that every one of them has, and she has it on her belly button. It's, like, two fish around her belly button. It looks like a tattoo, so I don't know if she thinks, like, she's insecure about that. There's an insecurity thing here. So she cries that she'll never have any friends and subsequently attacks Mint and Ichigo until they talk her down. She first appears in episode 3 of the anime, and I think she only goes into her mermaid form in 2 episodes, which are episode 9 and 41 respectively. The whole anime appears to be on YouTube, totally free, so give it a watch. Although I think I saw recently that they're going to do a Blu-ray release for the anime, at least in Japan, and that's awesome, because I really want to go back and rewatch the whole thing in Japanese, because I think the first time I watched it was that English dub, which was pretty bad. But I did read a bit of the manga, though. I know I finished Tokyo Mew Mew Alamode. That was not very good at all. So I need to get back into that. But I just really like the development of Lettuce over time. Like, she later on becomes happier, she's more confident, and she has so many friends. She gets, like, 4 more friends in the other Mew Mews, even Zakura, who's, like, hard as nails. You really just, the thing with Lettuce, you just really want to wrap her up in a blanket and tell her everything's going to be okay. You just want to love on her and be her friend, because she just wants friends. All right, so the next one. You've already heard me talk about her in the first Mermaid Movie Club, the first official one, not counting the intro. And that's Aquamarine, from the movie Aquamarine, and also the novel of the same name by Alice Hoffman. If you want to know what I thought about the movie, I released that episode back in February, so go back a few episodes to find that. But I can talk a little bit more at length about Aqua herself and tie in a little bit more novel stuff, because in the time between me writing this episode and the Aquamarine episode, I actually found my copy of the Aquamarine novel that I bought in like 2002. I think it was like 2002. The novel came out in 2001, I believe. That's what the inside cover says. Looking back at the novel, I feel like at least the movie got Aqua's temperament right for the most part. So the movie keeps that intact. Like I said in that episode, she's a sassy fish. The novel even describes her as rude. And yeah, she kind of is at first. She softens up a lot as both the movie and the novel progress. There's character development. See, Aqua was always my idea of what would happen if you put a mermaid on land to live with humans, fish puns and all. They are a bit larger than life in a way, so it kind of makes sense for them to be a bit over the top. Someone like Madison is probably a bit more plausible, but I always had somebody like Aqua in mind. Remember, you can't really apply logic to mermaids. That's something I'm going to say a lot. Anyway, I really can't fault a girl like Aqua for being honest about how she feels about really anything. She's honest about how she feels about Raymond. She's honest how she feels about Haley and Claire using her to get her their wish granted. She's honest about how she feels about having her scales touched. Girl doesn't hold back. That I can really appreciate. But she's not such a hard fin that she doesn't eventually open up, which she does, of course. I mean, while movie Aqua after a while does kind of feel like a BuzzFeed quiz turned into a mermaid with all the puns and stuff. Not saying puns are bad. I love puns. She's still somehow so refreshing, and you really want to be BFFs with her. Also, she has one of my favorite movie tales ever. I don't know why. Something about it is just really, really elegant to me. Really, I don't know why. Also, obviously, she's one that I go back with for a very, very long time. So she's very, very special to me. I remember when, like, I used to read this all the time when I was in, like, I want to say, like, 5th or 6th grade. And I remember we did, like, a Christmas play when I was in 6th grade, and there's a scene where, like, I have to be sitting on a couch reading a book. And that was the one that I picked. It had to be that one just because that was my book. That was my thing. And it was, again, it was just really, really special to me. And it has been for a very long time. So the next one I have, this is an interesting one. This is from a Korean romantic comedy show, and it has a few different names. I've often seen it referred to as The Idol Mermaid, which is pretty fitting, but the Korean title, Ingyo Gongju, I think that's right, essentially translates to Surplus Princess, which is another alternate title that I've heard. The show is a very loose adaptation of The Little Mermaid, a very, very modern one at that. Our mermaid's name is Aileen, who is the mermaid in question, played by Joel Boa. She is in love with this celebrity chef named Kwon Ji-kyung, played by Song Jae-rim. And she has this smartphone that she finds, and she uses that to, like, ogle him. And if that's not relatable, then I don't know what is. I feel like that would be Aquamarine now. She would be using, like, Haley or Claire's phone or whatever to, like, sneak pics of Raymond or something on the down low. So don't ask me how this phone works underwater, because, again, you can't apply logic to mermaids. I'm going to say it 1,000 times. You cannot apply logic to mermaids. You can try, but it doesn't work. Sometimes it's fun, though. So at some point, Ji-kyung, like, hits his head and falls into the river, and Aileen saves him. Another girl gets him out of the water. So you know how this goes. This is all sounding very familiar. So Aileen gets a potion from this, like, sea witch, former merman kind of guy that will turn her into a human for 100 days. 100 days? That's pretty generous compared to what Ariel got. After which, if she does not find true love, she will die. This should all sound very familiar. As a human, she takes on the identity of Kim Han-yi and moves into what is referred to as the Surplus House in Seoul, inhabited by other young people looking for jobs. And as I was researching this, I realized that one of them in the house, there's one that does, like, mukbang videos, and it's the same actress that plays the security camera hermit Solbomi in Lookout, which is one of my favorite Korean dramas. Y'all should watch that. If you love a good crime drama, watch that. It is amazing. So while she's living in this house, she needs a job, but of course her sights are set on Ji-kyung. The thing that sucks about this show, other than the fact that I haven't finished it, it originally had a 14 episode order, and that was suddenly cut to 10. just out of the blue. And I don't know why that was. Maybe there was not enough viewership or something. I usually don't keep up with those sorts of things because I don't care. If I like it, I like it. I don't care. But I do need to finish this at some point because I do want to talk about this as well as Legend of the Blue Sea, which is another mermaid-aligned Korean drama, which that one's actually a drama. This one's more of a comedy. And even if they're not movies, I want to talk about them. Anyway, going back to Aileen. So what I like about Aileen slash Honey is that she's incredibly relatable. And there's something to be said about taking something as fantastical and larger than life as a mermaid and relating her to a more human audience. I think that's what Onward tried to do as well to a point. Not that I've actually seen that yet. I'm waiting on that Disney Plus drop. I feel like that makes it more real for us in a way. Aileen is lovesick, quirky, driven, a lot like Ariel in those respects. It's almost as if this was adapted from Little Mermaid or something. But in 10 half-hour episodes, you spend more time with her than you do with Ariel in like an hour and a half. But I guess that's why there was an animated Little Mermaid series, I think. Joel Bouvard does a great job with her too. Like, you kind of question her at times, but hey, why should she be perfect? If you want to watch this show, it's available to watch for free on Viki. It's subtitled. I know I spend a lot of time just outlining the show as opposed to describing Aileen, but I feel like this is a release that kind of flies under the radar, both among K-drama fans and among mermaid fans. So I'm going to say, watch it. Fall in love with Aileen like I did. You're going to love it. And it's a comedy. I love a comedy. I love anything I can laugh at. I just love things that are happy and silly and stupid. All right. That was a lot about that drama. I keep wanting to call it a drama. I don't know why. Anyway, before I get on with The Last Mermaid, I'd like to roll out some honorable mentions. All right, here we go. Those include, but are not limited to, Romando from Gravity Falls, Sarcastic Mermaid King, Merman King. Andrea from Reboot, even if she's not really a mermaid, she is mermaid adjacent, so I'll allow her. Octavia von Seckendorf from Modoka Magica, you deserve better! Madison's from Splash, because iconic. Misty from Pokemon in that one episode where she was a mermaid because she was super, super cute. And the one mermaid from the Onward trailer that I mentioned before that sits in the kiddie pool taking a selfie, because same. That was a lot. What do I win? How fast was that? And the last mermaid on my list... Hear me out. Just please hear me out. You're going to judge me. I know it. But this is my podcast. All opinions expressed herein are my own. Because it's Melody from The Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea. All right, there it is. I said it. Interestingly enough, I think this is going to be the first time I really talk in depth about the Little Mermaid cinematic universe, as it were, on this podcast. And weirdly enough, it's not about Ariel. I promise you guys, I have something really, really cool planned for her coming soon. That's a guarantee. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is yet. I'm not exactly sure when I'm going to do it yet, but there is a really cool Ariel thing happening. That is a promise. But until then, let me explain my Melody feels, please. I love Ariel. I do. I can relate to being kind of a fish out of water in some respects, like feeling like a weirdo and like an outcast. Just in general, like feeling like I didn't belong with any kind of group. I just kind of floated around. And even then, like, I always thought like people were kind of really judgy with me. And even now in my adult life, I still kind of feel like the odd one out for whatever reason. And trust me, I have tried so, so very hard to fit in with other people as Ariel did with other humans. Of course, later on in life, I decided to just stop caring what other people thought about me, stop trying so hard. And that's where I found my friends. And I've never been happier. Because people like when you're authentic, I would think. But while Ariel's always been my favorite Disney princess, I just felt something special with Melody. Plus, I feel like Ariel just kind of goes without saying in the mermaid community. We all love her. I don't think I've ever met a mermaid that didn't at least like her. But with Melody. Melody, man. I guess it's just because what I got out of Little Mermaid 2, what I really wanted to get out of the first Little Mermaid... What I mean by that is it feels like in the first movie, there's more emphasis on Ariel chasing after Eric and romance has never really been my thing. But in the second, there's this element of Melody, like just trying to find out who she is and just find out more about herself. Kind of like Cody in the 13th year, but with less reluctance. I don't think I watched The Little Mermaid 2 until maybe 2002, 2003, something like that. Probably 2003. I'm thinking it's 2003. I was late to the party. I'm always late to parties. Of course, Little Mermaid 2, as we all know, is a rehash of the first. So Melody is very similar to Ariel as she was in the first movie. Stubborn, rebellious, determined, longing for something bigger than herself. And in turn, Ariel turned out to be a little bit like Triton. I guess you're a product of your environment. Honestly, anyone who ever wanted to be a mermaid, anybody who still wants to be a mermaid, listen, I got something to tell you. You are not Ariel. You may have wanted to be a mermaid because of Ariel, which is funny because it seems like she didn't want to be a mermaid in the first place. But girl, or guy, or non-binary entity, you're all Melody. Melody is you. This is a talk that we needed to have. You are all Melody. I remember there's a scene when she tells Sebastian that sometimes she pretends she has fins when she's in the water. And oh yeah, Sebastian hates that, by the way. I used to swim in my, it was the, what was it called? The Super Swimmer Princess Mermaid set. Google that. It was like this set of like fins and gloves and goggles. And I think I got it at Walmart when I was like 12. I was probably too old for it at the time. But I got it anyway, and I felt really special in it, and I loved those gloves. But I would use those in the pool. I was working on my dolphin kick from when I was like 12 or 13, trust. But it's gotten better since then. And I would do that, and I would be singing For a Moment to myself, that song that she sings after she becomes a mermaid, and then Ariel joins in the middle of it. And I would sing that, and for some reason, that just felt really, really magical to me at the time. Now, again, I love Ariel. I will defend her for the most part until the end of time. But if we're talking about a fish that had a significant impact on me, it was Melody. Because Melody made me feel seen. She is my girl. 100%. I will tolerate no slander. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not. So, with that being said, those are my top five fave merms. Top five fave merms. Those sound way too similar. I'm sorry. So, who are yours? I want to know. Who inspires you? Who makes you smile when you need a pick-me-up? Who do you think you'd be BFFs with? You can tweet me. You can message me directly via Twitter or Instagram. All my social links are in the show notes. You can also send me a voice message on the Anchor app, which I can respond to in a future show, unless you don't want to have your message read or broadcast, in which case be sure to let me know beforehand, because I can accommodate for that. This has been a really fun episode, mini-sode to do. Expect more mini-sodes like this one in the future, because I have a bunch of ideas for topics that I want to cover in these mini-sodes, and I'm really, really excited to share that with you guys. Also, before we go, I wanted to make a note that recently, surprise, surprise, I did find out that the Mermaid Movie Club is, in fact, on Apple Podcasts. I think it was there the whole time, but I never got any sort of notification from Anchor or from Apple or wherever I'm supposed to get it. So I just assumed it was either awaiting approval or that it was just rejected without notification, but it's there. So if Apple Podcasts is your podcast weapon of choice, it's there. And you can even leave a nice review. I love nice reviews. From what I understand, by reviewing and rating the show on Apple Podcasts, it's supposed to help people find the show easier. I don't use it, so I don't know how it works. I'm not an Apple user. But anyway, leave a rating and review. Be sure to tell all your more friends about it, because I like nice reviews, and I like people finding the show, and I like having more listeners and talking to you and making friends, making more friends, and human friends, all kinds of friends. Anyway, that'll be all for this Mermaid Mini. That's what we're going to call these, Mermaid Minis. Stay tuned for the third movie club selection. That's going to be, I actually have it in advance this time. Funny thing. It's going to be Scales, Mermaids Are Real. I already know that's on Netflix and Stars in the US, and it's also on Vudu, Google Play, iTunes, Amazon Prime Video, and, oh my God, I wrote Vudu twice. Vudu, Google Play, iTunes, Amazon Prime Video. I think YouTube was the one I meant to say. And I think that's like a rental purchase thing. And it could be at your local library if your local library is open right now, because I know we're in interesting times where things aren't open. So I totally understand that might be a problem right now. I want to say my library is probably closed. But it's still available on all the platforms I just listed. So have fun with that. I should have plenty of time to get into it, I'm sure. Again, that is Scales, Mermaids Are Real. I think it's also called Scales, A Mermaid Tale in some like in some platforms, but I think it's for the most part scales, mermaids are real. And I think I'm actually going to be able to tie that into the 13th year a little bit, so that's going to be fun. Yeah, let's get into that one, you guys. Thanks for tuning in to this Mermaid Mini on the Mermaid Movie Club. Until we meet again, have a mermaising day and a fantastic tomorrow. And wash your hands and fins. Wash everything.